This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
Let the living shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
Amen. Let's bow our hearts for a word of prayer. Father, we want to thank you. Lord, you have been good to us. The world sometimes wonders why we sing, why we dance. But Lord, it's because you have been too good to us, and we are grateful. Lord, we cannot but praise you at every given opportunity. We bless your name, O God. Lord, we have come gathered unto you tonight. Your word says, where two or more are gathered in your name, there you are in their midst. And everywhere you went, the Bible tells us that you were doing good. Lord, do us good tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for how you have started with us. My God and my Father, perfect all that concerns us tonight in the name of Jesus. We thank you, blessed Redeemer. As we look into your word of life, Jehovah, speak to us. In the name of Jesus, we appreciate you, Jehovah. Be thou exalted forever and ever in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. You may please be seated. Let's put our hands together for the choir. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like the white. I didn't get the memo. I will have joined you. Well, all white. Amen. Amen. First and foremost, tonight, before I delve into the message, I want to really appreciate the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, San Antonio. Hallelujah. You guys rock. You rock. You rock. Amen. We had a very long weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and every day was a busy day, and we pulled it off. You know, I forgot who I was talking to. I said, some of our undertakings is more than five times what we naturally should be able to do, but one way or another, we're able to pull it off. And it's because of great people like yourself, and every one of us. God will continue to strengthen you. The Lord will continue to uphold you. You will not be weary. You will not be tired in the name of Jesus. And the gift, that was a special one. That was a special one. Believe it or not, in 1 week, I put over 2,000 miles on it already. Because it was what I took on my road trip, walking road trip, the past week. Praise the Lord. Tonight we're talking about rebuilding waste places. And I'd like to read to us our scripture for the month of August. Our scripture for the month of August is taken from Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 10. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 10. And it reads, I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, even all of it, and the cities shall be inhabited, and the waste places shall be builded, in the name of Jesus. Let me read it to you in the New Living Translation Bible. Maybe you will have better appreciation for it. It says, I will greatly increase the population of Israel, and the ruined cities will be rebuilt and filled with people. Some of us cannot relate with that because you're like, increase the population. I'm done with having children, yes, doctor? So I'm done with having children. I don't know what you're talking about. No. So for someone that has a business, for example, amen, it means your clientele will increase. Amen. Everybody that needs to buy a house we suddenly remember, I need to go talk to somebody like Brother Alex. Amen. And anybody that needs to shop for food will remember the likes of TJ Supermarkets, the likes of Sister Taiwo Oguntade. Amen. They will be. It means God is going to increase you on every side. That is the promise of God for us. And as I was leading prayer yesterday, I shared with the ministers what the Lord had dropped in my heart. Friends, listen to me tonight. Listen to me. If you are beginning to wonder that all the negative information I'm hearing is beginning to overwhelm me, God is saying, for every one negative thing you have heard, there are 10 good news that you have not had yet. Yeah. Things that have happened, not happening, happened. You just don't know about it yet. Amen. It says, I will greatly increase the population of Israel, and the ruined cities will be rebuilt. Everything that has been lost, everything that has been destroyed, God is saying he will rebuild. In the name of Jesus, that marriage will be rebuilt. That family will be rebuilt. That career will be rebuilt. That business will be rebuilt. You are almost giving up, but God is saying it shall be rebuilt in the name of Jesus. And when you read the verse preceding our verse of the month, verse 9, it says something very, very interesting. It says, behold, that's the old King James. And the NLT says, see, to behold means to look intently. Look at it very diligently, very carefully. It says, see, I care about you. I will pay attention to you. Your ground will be plowed and your crops will be planted. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Before I start tonight, I want to make two statements very quickly. And I want you to please pay attention to these two things. Number one thing that the Lord will have me remind somebody here tonight is that there is nothing new under the sky. Can you tell your neighbor that? Nothing. 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 Ecclesiastes 1:9 puts it like this. It says, history merely repeats itself. It has always been done. Nothing under the sun is truly new. It means whatever it is you are experiencing at this time, good or bad, ugly, whatever it is that you are experiencing, you are not the first person that will go through it. That's number one. And number two, you are not the last person that will experience it. So by the time you move out of that season, somebody else is entering that season. Amen. There is nothing new under the sky. The second thing I want to say to you before we get into the body of the message tonight is this. Listen very closely to this. Rivers and floods, amen, are the same. A river is a body of water. A flood is what? A body of water. Rivers and floods are both body of water. The difference between the river and the flood is that the river is structured and productive. The river has a course, is going through the course, right? But the flood goes all over the place and is destructive. The river and the flood are both bodies of water, and they are the same thing, body of water, with different manifestations. Don't let the devil deceive you, and don't let anyone beat you down. Hallelujah. Whatever it is you are experiencing right now, I prophesy to you that God will turn it around for your good. Amen. River and flood, same thing, but different outcomes. Whatever is not working yet will begin to work for you. In the name of Jesus. That is just a teaser. And it's free of charge. So God is able to use that very thing, that flood, is able to use it for his glory in your life. In the name of Jesus. So tonight, as we talk about rebuilding the waste places, what I'd like to do very quickly is, because there's a school of thought that is wanting to say the Bible is just the New Testament. The Bible is not just the New Testament. The Bible, a complete Bible, is both the Old and the New Testament. In the New Testament, on the other hand, you see references like the law. You see references like the prophets. You see references like the scripture. Amen. And all of these things are referring to the Old Testament, either in part or as a whole. And the Bible says the Old Testament, or the scripture, the law, Moses, and all of those things, it says they were given to us for a number of reasons, but I'll talk about two very quickly. Number one, the old was given us for our examples and for instructions. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Please pay close attention to me tonight. There's something the Lord wants to drop in somebody's spirit tonight. Amen. When the word of God is revealed to you, it is the beginning of your turnaround. And your turnaround is tonight. In the name of Jesus. Romans chapter 15 verse 4 says this. Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. Saying those things that were written in the scriptures were written to teach us. And the scriptures gives us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 11, it says these things happened to them as examples for us. So the things that are recorded in the Old Testament, the Bible says those things happened to them so they can be an example for us. So, for example, tonight, as we'll be reading the text, what I want you to have at the back of your mind is that even though is the Old Testament, is an example to you and is an example to me. Praise the Lord. The second thing is the Old Testament, the scriptures, were given us as a shadow of what is to come. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. Hebrews 10, verse 1. Very quickly, please. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. It says the old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow. Somebody say a shadow. A dim preview of the good things to come. Not the good things themselves. Hallelujah. And Colossians chapter 2 verse 17 says a similar thing. It says, for these rules are only shadows of the realities yet to come. And Christ himself is that reality. So the old was given us for our learning and for our instruction and for our examples. Amen. So when I turn to Genesis to Malachi, I see tons of examples and experiences of people that I must definitely take away something from it. Let me give you a perfect example here. How many of us know who wrote the book of Genesis? Anybody? Yeah. Moses, thank you. So I've done a good job. Moses wrote the book of Genesis. I mean, if you were to think about an author for the book of Genesis, the nearest author would have been somebody like Adam. Amen? But no one could really write the story of the beginning because nobody was there at the beginning. In fact, Adam himself was created after everything had been created. He was the last to be created, so he couldn't have written the story. But God thought it very important that he revealed it to Moses and made sure he put it in writing. Why? For our learning and for our instructions. Somebody say learning. Instructions. For our example, so we can learn from it. So let's start from Genesis chapter 1. Because I saw something there. You know, it was not originally my text, but the Holy Spirit took me to this. I said, that is the beginning of the story. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. The first thing you must see here is that in the very beginning was God and nothing else. Praise the Lord. It says, in the beginning, God. It all started with God. He was his idea. In the beginning, God was there and he created the heavens and the earth. The moon, the sun, the stars, the earth, the water, everything. The universe. He created everything. And then it goes to the next verse. In verse 2, listen closely. It says the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. Listen to this. Is it conceivable for you that the Almighty God, the one that has the power to create the universe, will create something and it will be formless? Is that conceivable? Not to me. Is it possible that the all-powerful, all-knowing, Almighty God will create something and it will be empty? It is inconceivable for me. And Bible historians, theologians have told us that there is a huge gap between verse 1 and verse 2. Something happened between verse 1 because when the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, period. It's not a comma. It's not a continuing sentence. It was a period. So it was done. And then by verse 2, something happened. Many lives that are formless, devoid of joy, and all of those things today did not always start off like that. I want to put it to you tonight that when in verse 1, when God created the heavens and the earth, and period, it was a beautiful thing he had created. And then something happened. And then that beautiful thing became a waste place. It was formless. It was empty. And darkness took over. Receive the light of God tonight. In the name of Jesus. Amen. It is inconceivable. Everything God makes is beautiful. Beautiful. But thank God, by Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, all through, by the time you get to verse 31, the Bible says God himself looked back at what he had done in fixing what was a problem, and he said it was very good. It was very good. You know, I know my story, and I know you know your story. There was a time that you look back and you can recount and talk about when things were really rosy. There are some people like that here tonight. But right now, you cannot lay claim to things being very rosy. An example the Lord dropped in my heart as I was meditating on this today is, you know, when you are a young lady, for example, a young lady in, say, like 20-year-old or 21-year-old, you know, if she has suitors at that time, she'll be doing what I call guy. because she's not ready. You know, this man is asking, that brother is asking, everybody is receiving. He said, I'm not ready, I'm not ready, I'm not ready. You know, and it was cool. It was a cool thing at that age. But by the time you progress and move along, you begin to get anxious. I know this because it happened to me, even as a guy. By the time I hit 30, I began to scratch the back of my head. And it was really a problem because all the people I liked didn't like me, and all the ones that liked me, I didn't like them. So I said, this is a big problem. It's a big problem. You know, it's not like I didn't have people that were interested or people that I was interested in. It was just that it was a mismatch. The ones I liked and I was interested in were absolutely not interested in me. And the ones that were interested in me, with a one-mile pole, I will not. In fact, I won't say I do with the law. I just wouldn't. It was just incompatible. It was just incompatible. Amen. But when it pleased God, you know, he surprised me. And it was a miracle. I know you will like that part. And it's 18 years and counting to the glory of God. Hallelujah. So, what I'm saying here is there are some people that their lives is like Genesis chapter 1, chapter 1 verse 1 that has progressed to Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. Life was good. It was beautiful. But that beautiful life, that beautiful thing has now become without form, has now become empty, is void, and there's darkness. But the same way God fixed everything, and in verse 31 of chapter 1 of Genesis, he looked back and he said, it is very good. God will turn it around for you. In the name of Jesus. Let's open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 24. This is where I'm going to hang for a little bit, and then we will wrap up afterwards. Proverbs chapter 24, and we're going to read from verse 30. This text is actually the cornerstone scripture of my book, Go Back and Pick Up the Baton. Proverbs chapter 24 from verse 30. It says, I walked by the field of a lazy man, and the vineyard of one with no common sense. I saw that it was overgrown with nettles. It was covered with weeds, and its walls were broken down. Then, as I looked and thought about it, I learned this lesson. A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed man. But that will not be your portion in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, the Bible is saying here, it says, I walk by the field of this guy and the vineyard of one that has no common sense. The question you must ask yourself is, as we begin to, if you want to understand that, the first question is, what is a vineyard? What is a vineyard? A vineyard is a field or a farm where you grow, is a plantation of grapes that they use for wine. A vineyard is a very, very productive place. Amen? Because in the vineyard, usually they will also have a vat press next to it where they, you know, step on the grapes to make the wine. It was a rich place. It was a beautiful place. It was, I mean, when you walk by an orchard, the smell, the fragrance that comes from there is a beautiful one. But the Bible is saying here, by the time the writer of the book of Proverbs walked by this man's field, he says that vineyard did not look like a vineyard anymore. We're talking about rebuilding waste places tonight. It says the vineyard at this time had become overgrown with nettles. You know, nettles, I will say it in Yoruba and you will help me translate to English. Nettle is something that causes irritation. Kind of like poison ivy, but it's not. It's not poison ivy, but it's kind of like that. In my native dialect, they call it wirikwi. It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. A vineyard that is supposed to be producing grapes, grapes that will eventually become wine, that will eventually be sold for profit, is now an irritation. Amen? Marriage is supposed to be enjoyed, not endured. When marriage becomes an endurance, then it has shifted from being a vineyard to what is described here, overgrown with nettles and weeds. Something that is supposed to bring joy, that is now turned around and is bringing sorrow. It has become a wasteland. It's become a wasteland. A career that was supposed to push you up and elevate you in life, that has now become a burden and is kind of pushing you down, has become a wasteland. Very quickly, from this text, because of our time, from this text, how did a vineyard become a wasteland? How do vineyards become waste places? Number one, in verse 30, it says, verse 30, I walk by the field of a lazy person. Laziness and neglect is the number one reason why a priced land can become a wasteland. Listen to me. One of the things I have seen is in marriage, the number one problem in marriage is people begin to take themselves for granted. You become neglectful. You begin to take the other person for granted. And the moment you start living like that, a vineyard can transition into a wasteland. It says, the vineyard of one with no common sense. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. You know, people don't read that scripture very well. He didn't say it. He said it in his heart. So there are many fools today that would deny that they are fools, because their denial of God is not by the words of their mouth, it's in their heart. And you know, once you have denied God in your heart, it's going to reflect in your action, even though you have not said, I deny there is God. Hallelujah. The number one thing you want to see here is that you watch out for laziness. Any career, listen to this, any career that you are not improving yourself, you will become obsolete. Okay. Somebody told me something. Their phone just refused to work. You know why? There had been several updates that they did not update. And the phone, it just ceased working. It just quit. Why? Because those updates, Yasmin will tell us, those updates fix bugs in the system. Is that not so? It fixes problems in the system, in the operating system. So if they have created a solution in an update and you did not update your system, when that bug, when that problem comes into that system, it will cease to work. Why? Because you have not updated. Many people are too lazy to update themselves. The number one reason vineyards will turn into jungle is laziness and neglect. Number two reason is when a person is lacking sense. Number three reason, it says a little sleep, a little more sleep, a little more slumber, a little more folding of the hands to rest. Listen, it did not say a lot of, it said a little. And three times it said a little, and a little. It means you must watch out for the little things. Amen? It's usually not the big things that will cause you to fall. It's the little things. A little sleep. Say, I'm just going to sleep in today. I'm just not going to do it today. The Holy Spirit is nudging you to wake up to pray. He said, I will just sleep a little more. How many people know that a little more is no prayer? That's hallelujah. He said, a little sleep, a little slumber, and a little folding of the arm. You know, for the longest time, I used to think, I trust me, I've known this for a long time now. You know, but back then, before I knew the truth, I used to think slumber was a deeper state of sleep. You too. Well, and she's American, so I'm in good company. But slumber is not, it's not deeper sleep. In fact, I think sleep is better than slumber. At least when you are sleeping, you know you are sleeping. The one that is slumbering is the one that is going. They fall asleep. They abandon what needs to be done. And then suddenly they wake up and say, hey, oh, I had the last thing you said. You said, what did I say? In your sleep. Going in and out. At least the one that is sleeping, maybe God can give them a vision. A solution to the problem. Amen. They are sleeping. They are well rested. There's a benefit to that. They are well rested. But the one that is going like this is not well rested. He's not sleeping well. He's hurting the neck and all kinds of things. And that happens when you consciously, sometimes you ignore the problems of life. And all of a sudden, you start running around when you wake up from slumber, and then you go back to sleep. Say, ki sera sera. What will be, will be. But have you noticed that a wound that is untreated, it doesn't get better by itself. It becomes gangrenous. It worsens. Time only heals what you do something about. Amen? Time will only heal what you have done something about. You just hang on and say, oh, what will be. It has run a lot of people into poverty. Amen. My prayer for you tonight is that there will be a turnaround. There will be a turnaround. Every waste place shall be rebuilt. I tell you what God told me. Two things. In rebuilding our waste places that we have reclaimed. And it's the story of Nehemiah. The Bible tells us that when in Nehemiah chapter 1, as the scripture opens, introduced Nehemiah. It says some people came, listen to this. Don't worry, we'll open later. Listen to me. I want you to look up, please. The Bible says that some guys had gone to visit Jerusalem and came back from Jerusalem to visit with Nehemiah. Nehemiah was still in Babylon. Amen. And when they came, Nehemiah was inquiring from them. He said, how is Jerusalem? He was comfortable where he was. He was in the palace. But he was thinking about Jerusalem. And they told him the state of Jerusalem. The Bible says he was sad and he began to mourn. And he did two things. He fasted and he prayed. Let me give you good advice tonight. Good counsel. If you are in any field, maybe at your job, ask whoever is directly over you, sir, ma'am, how am I doing? Many people, the only assessment they have of themselves is their own assessment. So they tell themselves, I'm doing good. Everything is okay. Everything is all right. Do you know the text we read? There was no reference to the man that owns the field saying anything. He did not see himself. Do you know most people don't see themselves? Have you ever spoken to anyone and you were trying to tell them the problems they have and they are fighting you so much as if you are the one with problem? You know, at the end of the day, you just say, okay, if you're happy, then be you. Because most people don't see themselves. Everybody is looking at the person and say, this person has problem. This person has problem. And then you address them about they don't see it. They are looking at you strangely. Like, what's wrong with you? My life is good. Leave me alone. You need to inquire of people that can give you at least an honest opinion about yourself. Amen. So they came to Nehemiah, and Nehemiah did not rush to judgment. The Bible says he fasted and he prayed. Friends, the promise God has made to us for the beginning now, we're going to see increase. Believe me. There's going to be increase. I'm telling you, I know it like I know my name. Increase. And it has started. Somebody texted me 1st of August, said we closed on our house today, 1st of August. He said, I will greatly increase you. That's what he said. That's our scripture for this month. When you read it from NLT, I will greatly increase it. How are these things going to happen? And that's what you need to know. Friends, give yourself to fasting and prayer. Give yourself to what? This month. At least to set yourself off on what God wants to do. It would have been nice if as a church we can go like 14 days with prayer, intensive prayer. Our minister in charge of prayer already said every Tuesday this month we're fasting and praying for our children. I told her, I said, that's very in order, right? I said, perfectly in order. Because this month, every Sunday, I'm doing a teaching on prayer. Isn't that what I told you? Prayer. Because what God wants to do is already done. Somebody say it's already done. It's not about to be done. It's already done. The Bible says everything that pertains unto life and godliness is already given unto us. But guess what? They are in heavenly places. Is that where you need it? Absolutely not. If God allows you permission to enter heaven quickly and come back now. Some of us will go with a drum to pack some dust of gold to come back and sell. There's no shortage in heaven. There's prosperity in heaven, but it is in heavenly places. Where do you need prosperity? Heavenly places? No. You need it here. And the way you are going to bring it from there to here is by prayer. We're going to give ourselves to fasting and to prayer. To fasting and to prayer. So that you will not be a spectator. Somebody say, I will not be a spectator. Oh, no. When others are sharing testimony, I will not be on the sideline clapping for. I will rejoice with them, but they will rejoice with me too. In the name of Jesus. And things are heating up. I'm telling you, I'm hearing spectacular things. If just tonight, somebody share testimony, I'm like, whoa, that's a big one. That's a big one. Things are happening. Things are happening. You will not be left behind. In the mighty name of Jesus. The Bible says, since the days of John the Baptist, until now, the kingdom of God does what? Say it like you mean it. And what happens? Listen, fasting does not change God. Amen? The one that needs to change is you and I. And when we put our body under, we will see some things that we have not been seeing before. We begin to see clearly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says, Nehemiah, he fasted and he prayed. It was after his fasting and prayer that he appeared before the king. No wonder he had favor with the king. What he asked for, the king gave him. What he didn't ask, the king gave him. Hallelujah. If I was Ezra, I think in Ezra chapter 10, Ezra said, I was ashamed to ask the king for any supply because I have boasted to the king about my God. He said, so we didn't ask him for any help. And God saw them through. Because if we have boasted about God to him, and then I go cap in hand begging, you know, he'll be like, didn't you say your God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory? He said, I refuse to go. And God provided and met every need. God will meet your need. I say, God will meet your need. In the mighty name of Jesus. Tonight will be a night that you will recall. He said, I remember when it was said, and look at me, I'm living in it. In the name of Jesus. Rise to your feet tonight. We're going to pray. One of the things that I've seen is that the reason many people are not able to pray is not because they don't want to pray. It's because they are missing a very important element. Zechariah, is anybody back there? Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. Very quickly, please. Listen to this. Are you with me? Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, it says, then I will pour out a spirit of grace and prayer on the family of David and on the people of Jerusalem. Amen? I will pour out a spirit. The old King James says, I will pour upon the house of David and upon Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. There's a such thing as a spirit of prayer. Amen. Say, I will pour out. Somebody say, pour. It didn't say I will dribble or I will anoint. Say, I will pour out a spirit of grace and prayer on the family of David and on the people of Jerusalem. I want you to lift up your right hand to heaven and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, fill me with your spirit, with your Holy Spirit. Fresh baptism in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Go ahead and pray. Say, Father, fresh baptism. A fresh baptism in the Holy Ghost. In the Holy Ghost and power. In the name of Jesus. The spirit of grace, the spirit of intercession, the spirit of prayer, in the name of Jesus, pour out upon your church your spirit. Let there be an outpouring of your spirit, O God. Let there be an outpouring of your spirit, O God, in the name of Jesus. Le katalabakira rabashentalia. Oh, Lord God of heaven, pour out your spirit upon your church, upon your people. In the name of Jesus, a fresh infilling of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. Le katalia bakura daba shentalia ragada. Ye bakura daba kusa talia ragado shantalia raba. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Jehovah. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Say, and ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Say, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I want you to pray tonight. Say, Father. Friends, listen to me. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of grace. The Holy Spirit is that Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, that is going to enable you to accomplish all that you need to do. The reason people are not able to do is very simple. If you don't have the Spirit, you don't have the grace. Hallelujah. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus. He said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit is come. Say, Holy Spirit, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus. You said, we cannot receive power until the Holy Spirit is poured out upon us, my God and my Father. In the name of Jesus, let your spirit of grace, your spirit of prayer, your spirit of intercession come upon us anew and afresh. In the name of Jesus, le panimande rebo satalia ragada, e bradiba goraba zetalaba, e bradigali bradagadeba zontalia, e bradiba gadaba, e bradiba ragada, e bradigalaba dendalia bakosata. In the name of Jesus, le katalaba konderia ragada. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Your spirit of grace, your spirit of prayer, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jehovah. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Father, we thank you. Jehovah, we give you praise. We give you glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Brethren, before Jesus started that great ministry, 3.5 years, he took time to fast and to pray. Like I said, we'll be talking about prayer for the rest of the month. He prayed. His lifestyle was a lifestyle of prayer. No wonder his ministry was power-packed. Jesus, the man, was the one that walked on earth, and he came to show us the way, because he is the way. Hallelujah. The grace to pray, God will give unto you. God will give you the spirit of intercession. God will give you the spirit of prayer. God will give you the spirit of supplication. In the name of Jesus. We need it, people. We need it. 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 When we pray, God says he will hear. He says he will answer. And the Bible says the reason we come to him continually is because he's the God that hears and answers prayers. He answers prayers. He does not answer murmuring. He does not answer complaining. But he answers prayers. The Lord will hear you from heaven. The Lord will answer you from on high. In the mighty name of Jesus, God will send help to you, and he will send it right early. He will send help to you early. He will send help to you early. In the mighty name of Jesus, your waste places shall be rebuilt. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, Jehovah. We give you praise and we give you glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.